I'm Josh Cooperman, and this is Convo by Design. It's been said that culture is the science behind design. That is no more obvious than in architecture. A dwelling is a manifestation of the culture around it. Some ideas are groundbreaking, and they fall flat because surrounding culture wasn't ready yet. The same can be said for the overuse of architectural styles long after society has moved on. Ward Jewell is a Los Angeles-based architect with a significant roster of celebrity clients, including Madonna, Warren Beatty, and James Cameron. He's been featured in Architectural Digest, Dream Homes, and Lux Magazine. But what is truly remarkable about Ward is his ability to wrap his architectural vision around a cultural construct. He makes better use of historical reference than anyone I know. What I mean is, Ward is truly a student of architecture. This stems partially from his early experiences growing up in a Wallace Neff house and a fluid understanding of what makes architecture both relevant and capable of standing the test of time. Following is a conversation with Ward that took place at the West Edge Design Fair. We spoke in the California Beach Follies tent designed by Kelly Jackson Interior Design and built by the Warner Brothers Property Department. The conversation you hear will be paired shortly with videos on our YouTube channel featuring many of the projects Ward and I discuss here. Thank you for listening to this episode of Convo by Design. I hope you enjoy it, and if you do, please go to iTunes and off to the left, click subscribe. We'd also appreciate it if you clicked on ratings and reviews and left a positive review for the show. It helps us rise in the rankings and get more exposure. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you. Convo by Design is presented by a remarkable partner, Snyder Diamond. This family-owned company has been elegantly serving the home improvement and design community since 1949. If you're a homeowner, you want the best. Designers and architects, you want to provide your clients with the best products available. You want to make their dreams become realities. You want products from companies like those from Miele. Miele started from humble beginnings in 1899. Miele has been developing, innovating, and crafting high-quality home appliances for over 115 years, providing remarkably designed solutions for designers, architects, and homeowners. Miele, the largest family-owned luxury appliance manufacturer, launched a new line of induction cooktops, exceeding industry standards for ease of use and performance of induction technology, which continues to grow in popularity. Available in 24-inch, 30-inch, 36-inch, and 42-inch models, the induction cooktops are ideal for a variety of kitchen designs and configurations. The 30 and 36-inch models are available without a frame, fitting for a sleek, flush-mounted installation. The easy-clean Sarin surface is an extremely durable glass-like surface that is designed to resist heat transfer, making it exceptionally safe as a cooktop remains fairly cool even immediately after use. The superior surface, along with the technology of induction, delivers precise temperature regulation, providing ultimate control in a low simmering setting or a high searing setting. Okay, so you get it, right? Miele has come up with an absolutely remarkable induction cooktop that you must try, and you must see this for yourself, and you can see them all at Snyder Diamond. There are three showrooms in the Los Angeles area. For those who prefer to shop online, go to SnyderDiamond.com, and you can join in the conversation on Twitter at SnyderDiamondLA. This is Convo by Design. We're with the remarkable and incomparable Ward Jewell. Look, you can see the sneer. He's giving me the look already. It's so fun. You know what? I just love the conversation. The last time we spoke, you and I spoke for probably an hour before ever hitting record.
That's right, and you told me you were going to edit it. Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. We talked before.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You had a lot of background,
didn't you? I love that. It's awesome. This time is no different. Well, it's a little different. This time, Ward and I are in Santa Monica. We're at Barker Hangar in Santa Monica, California, for West Edge 2017. We are in the studio space designed by Kelly Jackson Interiors and Warner Brothers Prop Department. And we're doing a special series on the one thing. That one thing is provided by the subject. In this case, it was by Ward, and it's one thing that inspires and motivates you to do your best work, to be creative. And what's cool about this is, if you go to our YouTube channel, when we put these up, you will be able to find the one thing, and you'll also be able to find the images that demonstrate. If you notice, well, you can't notice because you're just hearing this, but when you look on YouTube, there's going to be a green screen, and we're going to edit in some of these images, so you'll be able to actually see what we're talking about. So make sure you go to our YouTube channel. How's that? It's good?
Perfect.
Sound good, right?
Yeah. Excellent.
Ward Jewell, Ward's a Renaissance man, and he always gives me that's the look.
He likes to have a good time.
He does. He likes to have a good time. He's an accomplished architect, musician. You're leading the artist. You're leading the artist lifestyle.
That's for sure. That's why I tell Linda every day.
Right?
Living the artist life. It's true.
And I love that you've been able to. You figured it out, and you figured out how to do it on your own terms.
That's true.
Which is kind of neat. And it was interesting because as Ward and I started talking, we started talking about historical reference in relation to new build. And it's funny because you said, open a book.
But it works also for modern work. Anything, it's you need to have a historical background for whatever you're doing. But there's so much work that we see all over the city that it's like they design it out of thin air. They don't even really think about it.
Why is that?
I really don't know. Maybe it's...
Is it lazy?
I think so. Yeah, you can go down to Hennings and Ingalls and do a little research and find out how to do a dormer window, or find out how to do a really amazing Spanish colonial house. And it doesn't have to be an exact copy. It's just at least you have that reference, that background to start from.
And it's interesting, too, because when I asked you for the one thing that you could say sort of personifies, demonstrates, illustrates the work, it's quality.
Exactly.
It's quality. And part of that quality is opening a book and having historical reference.
That's part of it. You have to have talent. You have to have a design sense. I mean, the four things I think you look for when you're going to go hire an architect is design, and really good drawings. And that's the part that will develop the quality. You can have great designs, but if you can't translate that into a well-built building, it's not going to happen.
And sometimes that well-built building, you know, you told me a story last time. You created a round room in the Palisades with a dome ceiling and on a U-shaped house with a hinge. In Malibu, you created a Pennsylvania farmhouse.
They're all different. Every site has its own characteristics. So it's not just having a historical sense about a building type. You have to understand the site. You have to understand where the sun is, where the breeze is, and where the vistas are. So every site ends up with a different kind of building. I mean, I did something in West Palm Beach that was something I'd never done before, a very free-form kind of space. But it worked for that site. So.
You started out drafting. You started out drafting.
Drafting for interior designers. Yeah, I kind of learned architecture from the inside out. Worked for some really well-known interior designers. And then they started saying, well, can you design this bathroom? Design this? Anyway, I was starting to do, you know, second-story remodels. And it went from there to larger projects. And then I decided to go back to school and learn how to do it right.
So you came out of SC, and your first project was on Stone Canyon in Bel Air, adding a second story to a Jack Wolf house.
That's right. Yeah, Jack Wolf house of all things.
Okay, so explain this to me. Is there any apprehension? Is there any? He's an accomplished architect. He's pretty good at what he did.
Jack Wolf. Wait a minute. He was a set designer. Yep. He was never. I met him. Years and years ago, he was a set designer. He worked in Hollywood and did these, he called them French Regency houses with the big doors. You don't see them anymore, but they're still around.
Is there a reason you don't see them anymore?
Well, it was a very stylized buildings. And, yeah, they were of the time. And that's my point. They were, you know, you could tell if that was like 1964 or 1972. It's like half the stuff you see these days, you can tell exactly what year it was built just because they had been looking at that magazine that year.
Well, and so it was interesting. So would you call that trendy?
Of course.
So you still see them occasionally. You see them now and then.
A Jack Wolf house?
Yes.
A new one?
No.
No. Yeah, you see the old ones.
Yeah.
Sure. They're all around.
Yeah.
Sure.
But they're still there.
And I've worked on a few of them.
Have you?
And they're like set designs. But there are some very interesting ideas there. And there are actually some very classical ideas there as well. But those big, tall, that's the big, that was the funny part of them. Big, giant entry door with a big, giant doorknob right in the middle. Is that they're amusing. I mean, a lot of people really love him.
Yeah, like, you know, he was the architect of the stars.
Exactly.
Right?
Back then, yes.
Judy Garland, Mae West, Bob Hope.
Right. But I hope I'm not in that.
No, I don't think so. But you know what? It's so funny. I got so off track. And I love that. Every time I talk to you, I get completely sidetracked, which is awesome.
It's good.
It's the best kind of conversation to have. It really is.
Right.
The point was, like, that's your first major project on your own. And he's an accomplished guy.
Yeah.
And you're redoing his work.
Yeah, I kind of fixed a few things, but I played off of what he was doing. You know, I kind of understood what he was doing. It was very, very French.
It was all in the spirit.
But, you know, I had enough historical background to be able to make it work. But it was a fun little project. I've almost forgotten about that one. That was so long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Historical reference with regard to quality. Is that...
Oh, It's like I say, open a book, pay attention to the details, and if you don't understand a detail, do a little research and figure it out. I mean, Spanish casement windows where the plaster plasters into the jamb seems like such an obvious thing, but you know what? Go and look at it and see how it was done. Are they all bullnosed, or do some of them have corner beads? It's a simple idea, but
the concept of historical reference with regard to quality. Because I think that's really important.
You know, if you're working in a context, I mean, I went to SciArc to learn modern architecture. You know, it wasn't, which is what I'd rather do. And actually, I have some projects I'm working on right now like that. But I grew up in a Wallace Neff house, and I had an appreciation for that quality of work. And a lot of people don't know how to do it. But it involves moldings, just how you make moldings, how you do a paneled room, how you would do a wainscot, how you would do, the house in Malibu, I designed the base and the casing to the right scale that I want. Scale is important with historical ideas. So the scale of how the moldings work in a room are critical. But you have to have a sense for that and also have a sense of how it was done, because historically, those moldings had been worked out. All the way back to the Romans, they've been working on that.
That's true. And what's all, you did grow up in a Wallace Neff house, the Goetz house.
Yes.
And do you remember when you had an appreciation for that? When did you appreciate that? When did you know what that meant?
You know, honestly, I don't know. My mother was an interior designer. She exposed me to a lot of things, and she shared office space with a very famous interior designer, John Cottrell, that's where I started drafting years ago. And I just finished the house in Malibu I did with him. And that was an incredible experience. But I think what happened was when I was at USC getting my bachelor's in fine arts and learning about history of art and all the history of art. And then when I went to SciArc, again, the history of architecture, understanding and appreciating how buildings are put together and how you experience the space as you move through it. And to me, that's what makes it so amazing.
You mentioned SciArc. You went back to school. You were at SciArc, as mm-hmm. you mentioned. Eric Moss was there. Was he the director yet?
No. Ray Cappy was the director.
Okay.
And I was there sort of the golden age when Morphosis was doing the 2468 little Venice projects, the little funny little projects, and they were getting these things published. And that's back when people were hand-drawing everything. So we hand-drew everything and built models constantly. But it was really kind of a golden age for architecture schools, because every project was different. It was an interesting time.
Yeah. But Eric was there, and his style is vastly different than yours. But you credit that for being the base of your design at some point.
Eric Moss?
No, SciArc.
Oh, sure. SciArc, the way they teach architecture and the period that I went through there, it was, you know, you had to understand history. You had to understand how to organize a space, organize a building. But you learned how to really design a building, a unique building, not just copying what someone else has done, but something that you've come up yourself, how you analyze a site. It really gave you really a good building methodology, design methodology for designing any kind of building. So we did all kinds of projects there. But they're all interesting. And everybody's project was different. It was just fascinating, fascinating time.
Into your work now, you sent a couple of images that we were going to talk about under the concept of quality.
Right.
And how it seeps into your work and how it inspires you and sort of drives you to do your best work. The Spanish colonial revival in the Palisades.
One of my favorite projects.
Yeah, why?
Well, that style of architecture it really is evocative of our climate in California. You know, I have the outdoor room, the big outdoor loggia. Well, that's where people actually lived. And I worked on one on Rockingham, the original hacienda, adobe hacienda, and they had pictures of the rest of Brentwood. It was just empty. And here was this hacienda, these big, thick walls. And you actually walked out of the rooms through an arcade to get to your next room. You walked outside. So it was a real connection to the outside. And we didn't all have these air-conditioned spaces that were all, you know, I don't even have air conditioning in my house. But it was really, that style really used the thick walls to be able to control the built environment. And it's a simple, very, something about the style has such simplicity and such power to it.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that to me, because when you think about it, in the concept of quality, right, simple is high quality.
Well, there are times when I am designing something, and if I can take something out of it, I'll take something out. Less is more. If what you're adding is additive, it's just, you know, decorating a cake. You want the thing to have the essence of the building. That's kind of what I do with. I'm working on a really interesting project right now in the Hollywood Hills. Is an artist studio on a large lot downslope, and I don't even know where this inspiration came from. But this studio is going to be amazing. And then the house that's on there right now is a 1920s original Spanish. Very simple. Nothing grand about it. But this thing's, again, down to really simple ideas about how you shape space. What does a ceiling do to the space below? You know, how as you step into a space, what happens? In this part, there's a terrace that connects to the main studio. And you go down a set of stairs down below to a room that connects to a pool. So there's two different parts that you're looking at, and then this incredible view. Anyway, it's a lot of fun, but it's using that idea. It's very evocative of the Spanish house. It's going to have a tile roof. I don't want it to be jarringly different, so it'll blend with what's there. But it'll have steel windows and a lot of amazing light and shadows in the space. So it's a lot of fun.
That's really
you'll
cool.
See it eventually.
I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. You mentioned something. Is a clunky way to ask a question, but does deconstructionist theory kind of play into your work?
That gets into a whole
I know
other thing. I really think of myself more as a minimalist.
Okay,
when it comes down to well, like that silly that simple idea that of that courtyard house that normally would be a U, by pulling that one arm of the U out to get more light in because that's where the sun was coming from. And put a round room in as a hinge. That's a simple idea.
Yeah.
You know. So that's to me that's minimalism. But I like things that have. I mean, I do a lot of cabinetry work and paneling and details like that. I don't get ornate, but they're really wonderful to have textures like that in a space.
Yeah, and it's so funny. I've learned so much about space from you. Like just things come to mind. It's like, don't build a round room with a dome if you can be in the center of it.
I'm working on this house right now. Okay, it's 35,000 square feet. It's a big French chateau. I'm working with a very well-known interior designer. And you walk in the master bedroom. I don't know why they did this, but they put a dome in the middle of the master bedroom. And we're walking in the middle of the master bedroom, and the first thing the interior designer says, "That's got to go." I said, "Yeah, I know." I knew that from experience, except my dome you couldn't stand in the middle because the dining room table was in the middle.
Dining room table.
Fortunately, my rear end was saved on that one.
Yeah. Could you imagine if it wasn't?
But here I am standing in this giant bedroom with this big dome. Yeah. Well, we took it out.
Yeah. The Bluestone French Regency.
Yeah.
What was your initial approach to this project?
Well, my client wanted to have a house like something in old Pasadena. So, okay. That sounds interesting. And also, they're retiring. So they really wanted a one-story house. And the thing about a one-story house that's wonderful is you can really carve up into the ceilings and get some wonderful spaces, wonderful shapes out of the ceilings, which we did. We do have a couple of little two-story sections sort of hidden inside the tall roof. But again, and one of the things we wanted to do on that house was pull the roof down, have that steep roof, but pull the roof down so it didn't have one of those big, gaudy, heavy elevations. It was, you know, a lot of the houses on the street, there's a couple across the street that from the 30s and 40s that did that sort of thing. So they're probably torn down by now, but anyway.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it's really clean. Yeah. I don't mean to be like, oh my God, Ward Jewell did a really clean design.
What do you mean? It's got leaded glass windows. Come on.
No, but I see what you mean. And it's just, it's sleek and it's very clean.
But gets back to this point about quality, I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm getting onto what we're talking about. For me, quality, the only way you can achieve it is to have a really good team. And the key element in this case, is having a really, really good contractor. And the flip side of that is having really, really good drawings. So, and communication. I work with a lot of contractors who didn't last with me because they would go ahead and just, if there was something that they weren't sure about, they wouldn't call me. They would just go ahead and do what they thought was right. And I'd go back there and rip it out. So they didn't like me after that. So I'm down to like a handful of contractors. But that's this whole concept of the team. And there's more to the team than just the contractor. But good drawings and someone that can execute it. Because we're not like painters and sculptors that work directly with the medium. We have to have our ideas translated. So someone goes out there and actually has to build it. Someone who's a craftsman, hopefully.
So it's really interesting because I don't think I've really thought of it in those terms before, like you know, producing the highest quality. I know how important partnerships are because I've heard that before, and I know how important communication is because I've heard that before. But to draw a direct correlation between partnership and communication to the end result, which is quality, you know, I guess I had sort of thought you'd get there easier. Maybe you know, you'd get there easier. But not that it was a fundamental core element to producing a quality project. It makes sense, though. It totally stands to reason.
Right, right.
Yeah. The Federalist Brentwood Park. This looks like a fun project for you.
Okay, this was a house that when the owner walked me through it, I said, we need to tear it down, start over. It was built in the 20s. Actually, I think it was built in the 10s. I think we need to tear it down. There's a lot you want to do. Oh, no, we love the house. We want to keep it. So I said, fine. So I attacked it. It's like the living room has sort of an L shape, which I would never do, but they wanted that, so I kept that. But by the end of the day, that house was torn down to the foundations because it was out of square, out of plumb, termites, framing was very strange. On the second floor was framed with 2x3s. It was very, anyway, yeah, we had to reframe the entire thing. But when we did that, I raised the windows, raised some ceiling heights. And so it's the essence of what it was. But what you see there is really totally new.
Does that surprise you, though? In the 20s, 10s, you would think that the quality would be higher as originally built. Or do you think that this was just...
I've seen both. I've seen some amazingly well-built houses from the 20s and the 30s, 40s. And I've seen some horribly built ones, too, like this one. Terrible.
Well, so this is Is that good then? When you wanted to originally tear it down, they wanted you to keep the house, but you know, because of the condition, you got to tear it down to the studs.
I had a whole new design for this, and this was a very large lot in Brentwood. Again, like a park. So it had the front elevation and the front park and the rear park, all these views, these wonderful views out of the building, so you, which gave you so many opportunities with the design. So I had a beautiful design for it, but no, we want to keep it. It's okay, fine. So I still got, I had my way with a lot of things.
The actual, the design of it, what do you think of it? What do you think of that style?
Oh, the Federalist?
Yeah.
No. You know what? I look at it as a unique challenge. Again, you know, let's go look at it. What was good about it? What was wonderful about that, the original house? I wish I had given you the original photo. I don't know if I have one. But, and so you kind of, and that's what happens when you're doing a remodel on a good, existing, wonderful house from that era, is you take clues from it. And you make it better. I mean, back then, they had tiny closets, tiny bathrooms, and tiny kitchens because they never went in the kitchen. But, you know, now we do these big family room kitchens. But you take your clues from what the house had and try to make it look like it's seamless, that it was always like this. So,
the last one that you provided was the Barn Farmhouse in Brentwood.
Oh, yes.
And can I tell you something? Of all the images that I've seen of yours, I think that this is my favorite. This is my, it's not anything against any of the others. It's just that I really, really like this one. I don't know, maybe I'm drawing too much into this, but I see elements of most of the other styles there. Like you've got that breezeway, you know, right. which is representative of the Spanish colonial, that hacienda style, right? That right. It's reminiscent of that. You've got sort of the roof line. I love the style. And it blends.
It played off the existing house is a coal court house.
Okay.
It's a huge, huge lot. This is just their little pool house.
Stop it.
Yes, it's the pool house. This is just the pool house with a giant lap pool.
Oh my gosh, that's
anyway,
awesome.
Yeah, no,
that
we had
great.
So much fun. As a matter of fact, Lori Lewis is a brilliant landscape architect. She and I are doing this other project in the Hollywood Hills. We're having a ball. Anyway, I got to use these vintage timber works, these old reclaimed beams. And I'd first done it on my house in Coronado, which is actually getting published in San Diego Home and Garden. And I love this. I love using those old timbers. And so they wanted to have that kind of thing going on in this house. And I don't think they were quite sure what they were getting out of this when they were done, but these beams turned out incredible. And that's just a little glimpse of it, few photos. You have to actually see the house. It's been on the Robinson's Gardens tour and the LA Conservancy Gardens tour.
Of course it has.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. It's great. I love that.
It's one of my favorite projects.
Mine too?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because you can see how quality plays into this.
That contractor, and I'm going to mention his name, Martin Perry. He's incredible. All the other contractors that work with me are going to start saying, what? No, he's really, really incredible because someone else brought him along. And he followed the drawings. If he had a question, he stopped and would call me. I love that. All the good contractors I work with do that, communicate. But on time and on budget.
You know what's interesting, though? You say communicate, and that's a good thing. But what you just described is not traditional, standard, well, traditional. It's not modern-day communication. Oh, I'm just going to send him a text. Oh, I'm going to send him an email. He'll call you. He'll stop down, stop what he's doing, and call you.
Oh, yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah. Same thing going on at my 35,000-square-foot project. That guy calls me constantly. But you need to, you know. Everything has to be in the right place, and you have a good contractor. They care about that. You have a contractor that wants to design, which I won't work with. There's plenty of contractors who are out there who want to design, look at my drawing and go, no, I want to do this. It's like, that's not your job. I've had to lecture people about that. It's not your job. Your job is to build what I draw. So,
do you have to have that conversation very often?
No. My clients tend to use my contractors, and when they don't use my contractors, a lot of times they'll regret that, you know, even though they saved money. I have one in mind I'm thinking of.
And you're not going to say his name?
Of course not.
Well, no, I love that. Thanks for doing this, and sure. And thanks for providing the images. They're stunning. They're fantastic.
Well, thanks for having me, Josh. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Hey, and for anyone who's listening or watching or meeting Ward for the first time, seriously, open a book. God, I love that. Thanks. Convo by Design is proud to be working with Vandam Furniture. Their design culture is the key to their success. It's what pushes them to consistently create new collections that give spaces a new dimension. They create dialogue between environment and form. Vandam pieces can transform the simplest space into one filled with glamour that is both unique and extraordinary. And isn't that what design is all about? Creating atmospheres where you can take hold of life and enjoy it to the fullest. Vandam products are simply amazing. Their crafted, modern, durable, molded resin, glass, and metal designs are unique. They beg to be enjoyed, and very soon, you'll be seeing them featured in Convo by Design videos, as well as the set design at some amazing design-focused events. Don't want to wait? I wouldn't either. You can find them in their showrooms at the D&D Building in New York, Wynwood in Miami, and their newest showroom at the Pacific Design Center in Los Angeles, or online at vandam.com.